just finish off things I shared the other week. Matt Geraldine sort of spoke at the beginning of the meeting that Kim was talking a lot about us getting to know God more, getting to realise that God is a lot closer than we often think in our minds. Now, just recapping quickly on what I shared the other week, I shared something about forgiveness, and forgiveness actually setting us free, because God wants us to be in freedom, and unforgiveness can stop us being in that freedom. And I used to think that forgiveness is something that happened when somebody received it, but it's important that the forgiveness is laid out on the table by the person that's forgiving, because that's what Jesus did. He laid forgiveness out on the table so we could receive it. And because he did that, we were able to come into freedom like no other freedom we could have had. And then I went on to share a little bit about the current generation and the problems that exist, because there's a type of freedom that the world's given and has been given progressively since the sort of 50s, 60s time, and it's not really producing a freedom in the young people. Instead, it's producing a captivity in the young people, that's because they're not finding security, they're not finding the boundaries, and they're not getting direction. So they're swimming in a sea of confusion, not knowing where the boundaries are, not being disciplined, because that's another thing that's gone out of the window. You ask the school teachers, what's the most effective form of discipline? And it's the threat of real punishment that counts. That's more effective than any type of psychology that they apply. And it's true, because it's the deterrent that stops people. A lot of people will think twice about doing something if there's a sufficient deterrent. But the thing is that the young people are caught up in all this that we as a nation have allowed to develop. So they don't have the freedom that God wants them to have. And he wants you and me to have a freedom, but not a freedom just to be do as I like, not to be in anarchy without some sort of governmental control. And of course, the governmental control in each one of us is self-discipline. That's the thing that holds us together, is self-discipline. But Jesus wants us to come into freedom so we can have a real relationship with him. Now, I was reading the thought for today thing, word for today, so to say. And Thursday was an interesting one, and I want to just read this, because this is on about forgiveness. And it's, we probably already know this, but when it comes in print, you know, it just sort of highlights it a bit more. And the heading, it's taken from Colossians chapter 3 verse 13. It says, forgive whatever grievances you have against one another, as the Lord forgave you. And then those of you that read this will know there's then some comments. So the comments are, says, a group of doctors was asked which emotions caused the most physical illness. Their answer was anger and unforgiveness, because over time they release deadly toxins into your body. That is why Paul says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. So when you have been treated unfairly, what should you do? It says, take these four steps. One is to confront. There is a right time, place and way to do this. Before you do, pray and ask God to guide your thoughts and your words. Then say what is in your heart in a low-key, non-judgmental way. After that, leave the rest to God. He will do a better job of changing things than you will. The second is, release it. Not only does God require us to forgive each other, He gives us the grace to do so. You may let someone off your hook, but that does not mean they are off God's. He will deal with them the right way and bring them about the right result, something you cannot do. And three is, remember how often God forgives you. Paul says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. When you are tempted to lick your wounds or lash out, recall the price Jesus paid to take away your sins. Looking through those eyeglasses will help you to forgive anybody. And four is, pray for the offender. Forgiveness means refusing to let the wrongdoer keep on hurting you. God said, pray for those who hurt you. Without showing mercy, life becomes an endless cycle of resentment and retaliation. But as you walk in love, you experience freedom. And that's what it's saying. We can come into freedom, but we've got to learn to live in forgiveness to come into freedom. One thing we find about this weather, because it's hot and muggy, as the temperature rises, quite often so do the temper level, you know, the threshold, temper thresholds. And we bite and snarl often because we're in physical discomfort because of the heat and the humidity. But God's saying, live in forgiveness, learn how to offer forgiveness, and you'll come into freedom. Because God wants us to have a real relationship with Him. If you look back in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, I know there's quite a few names given to God, but this is His name that He gives Himself. Exodus chapter 3. So this is Moses. Now, Moses has been called by God to be a leader of the nation. But the nation doesn't know that. So Moses has said, well, if I'm going to lead this nation, I'm going to tell them that you've sent me. How are they going to know? So he says, then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. If you look in John chapter 8 verse 58, it says, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. I want to just concentrate on this name, this I am. Because it really is a massive name, bigger than we really realise. In Revelation you'll see in chapter 1 verse 8 it says, I am the Alpha and Omega, who was and is to come. You know, it's covering the past, the present and the future. In chapter 1 verse 17 of Revelation talks about him being the first and the last. So he's the first one that ever will be the last one, and he's the beginning and the end. That's in Revelation chapter 1. So he's the start and the finish. He's everything. Now the thing about I am is that we're I am people. We can call ourselves I am. Now I'm not being disrespectful for God on this. I will explain in a minute, because we are I Am people, but my I Am is now. Geographically, time wise, my I Am is now, and that's all it can be. That's all it I'm able to be. But God's I Am is, he says, I am at the beginning, I am at the end, I am everything in between, I am every place, everywhere. So matter where we go, what time we've gone, God is still there. God is still I Am. Regardless of where we are, where we go, God is still I Am. The thing with us, we use that word, that term, I Am. We're always saying it. I am doing this. I am doing that. I am not doing this. I am not doing that. We're full of I Ams. We use it on a daily basis. God wants us to learn, and I'm talking to me before anybody else. This is really a lesson that I need to learn to get closer to my God. Because I need to learn to I Am with my God. I need to I Am with my God, who is I Am. Because I can pray and I can miss the I Am in bit. I can read God's word and I can miss the I Am in bit. Yeah, how many of you have read a page in a book and got to the end and thought, what have I read? I've just done my shopping list for tomorrow for groceries, but I've just forgot. It's like you're in two, you've got two minds, one that's reading the book and one that's doing whatever you're thinking about. And it could be same with praying as well. We can set about praying, and we've all got it, we've all got these formality words to introduce ourselves to Jesus, to prayer. But in our pocket is this laundry list we want to fetch out and put in front of him. But before we do that, we think, well, we've got to go through this formality of introducing that, praise God, you know, and all this, and then, whew, with our shopping list. That's missing the whole point of the I Am. What I need to be able to do is to go to my God and I Am with my God, to grasp so close that God's I Am in with me and I am in. You see, when we use this term I Am, it's more understandable if we put a little word in front of this. See, if I say I am doing this, you know what I mean, but if I say I am is doing this, I am is doing this, this is me, I'm doing this, it is me doing it, I'm involved with something at a given moment in time. Sometime I'll say I am too quiet, too tired. This I am is too tired. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to convey that it's what's coming out of me at any point in time. This is my I Am. So I need to be taking this I Am, this me, and bringing that into God's presence. Because there's somewhere in it, I wrote it down somewhere, there's a reference about coming into God's presence. Just bear with me a minute. Oh, it's Acts chapter 3, verse 19. That's it, just turn to that. What I'm trying to get us away from is accepted formats of terminology we use. We'll say, come and pray, come and read God's word, and we can miss out sometimes on really what we're aiming to do. A lot of the choruses we sang today were actually us talking direct to God. Now, we can sing them as choruses. We can quite cheerfully sing those as choruses, get to the end, and never actually have done any I am-ing with God. We can do that because it's words in our intellect that we're spouting. Right, what do you say? Acts chapter 3, verse 19. He says, "Repent therefore and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Now, the times of refreshing are coming from the presence of the Lord. Not by the words I'm saying to God, not by the words that I'm reading in here. It says, the times of refreshing is coming from the presence of the Lord. Now, I've got to get into God's presence. This is the crux of the I am. See, when God says that He is I am, and no matter where you go and what you're into, wherever you are, God says, "I am for you. I am for you, Catherine. I am for you, Jonathan. I am for you, Bill." That's what God's saying. Every time, every moment of every day, no matter where you are or where you go, God is available for you and for me. But we only make God available to us in a limited sense because with so much going on, mentally we can't keep everything going together. And there's times we have to concentrate on one thing. But we can make decisions to go into the period of I am now with God. I just thought about that. I forgot about this, but I actually this is what I did the other week before Kim came, and we ran out of time. So we're gonna. This is a bit of a reminder to tell you what we're on about, right? That's God's name, I am. Right? This is where we come into. This is where what we should be able to get to. If God is in there at that period where He can I am with us, we should get to the place where we can I am with God. Now that means we've got to isolate ourselves off from everything else that's pulling at us and actually enter into God's presence. He says when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain of the temple was torn. Previous, you couldn't go beyond that curtain. Now Jesus says, you can come right into my presence. He says there is no limit now. There is nothing stopping you. You can come right into my presence, and as I am with you, you can I am with me. Our difference is that we can only I am in one point in time. Jesus can go anywhere in the history or the future, right now, and He is there. No matter where we go, God is there. You know, at the unit we sell posters to the trade, and Christian posters, and one of the biggest sellers is the footprints one. And I mean, so often we all do this. We go through a period of time and we think, where's God in this? You know, I'm suffering, I'm striving, I'm doing this now, and I'm getting nowhere. Where is God? It's like He's left me. Well, this footprints is showing one set of footprints along a beach. And this person is saying exactly that. Where were you when I needed you, God? Where were you? I said, look, there's only one set of footprints. And the thing was that there were God's footprints. Because He was carrying the person, and the person didn't know that God was carrying them. And that's how we are sometimes. We feel that God's not there. We're isolated. We're trying to sort things out ourselves. And all the time, God is there. He's lifting us. Because if He hadn't have lifted us at that time and carried us, we'd have sunk without trace. And God's brought us through. So I've got to learn more to get into the presence of God. Now I can come and I can spout words to God as if sometimes that I feel I've got to. Now I know it says come and pray, and it says pray without ceasing, but I know from Pauline and myself and close friendships, you can be in someone's presence and you be, see, closely connected to them, and you haven't got to say a lot of words for that to be powerful. When you get into the presence of God, it's not my spouting of many words that links me with God. It's my acknowledgement of who He is, acknowledgement of how close He is, and really reaching out right into His heart, right into the heart of God, and drawing that into me. And he's doing the same with me. He's drawing my heart into Himself. I can set myself the task of reading so many chapters out of the Bible, and at the end of it I'm not forced to have achieved a lot. If I'm not really in the presence of God in doing it, I can read it like a book, I can read it intellectually, I can read it as a task, but perhaps God is just wanting to I am with me, perhaps over one verse, and here's me trying to read hundreds of verses and God's just waiting to just catch me on the one verse and say, look, I want to I am with you over that. Just get hold of you and just nurture you on that one verse. And we can miss that. And it's the same when we're praying. We feel we've got to say a lot of words. And sometimes, I don't know whether any of you do it, but we tend to give thanks at the table when we have a meal. Some say they'll say grace or we'll give thanks or whatever. And the easiest thing to do, if you're caught in the volunteer, you're the one that's been volunteered, you'll bring out the standard one because that takes no thought. It just reels off without, and we are giving thanks. So in underlying, I suppose the intention is there to give thanks, but we miss it because we've missed the I am bit. We've said grace, we've given thanks for the food, but we've missed that connection with God. Then one of the telephone things, one of the big adverts was one-to-one, isn't it? You're on the, you get a one-to-one. And often with God, I'll miss out on the one-to-one because I'm not actually getting into God's presence. There's a lot of things going off, religious things, and I'm caught up in the religious things. It can be quite a problem knowing a lot of religious terminology because we can use that without really thinking. We could stand up and pray probably for 5 minutes using all these religious words and never really say anything effective. Yet we just want to reach and touch God, and we don't really have to say a lot to do it, but what we do have to do is to go into His presence, right into where He is, and that's what God's wanting to do. Whether we come round the table today, whether we're just at home you just sat down relaxing there on the settee, and you close your eyes, and you can just reach out into the presence of God, and you've made a decision just who I am with God. You don't have to be on your knees, but the time when God says, you know, get on your knees. I mean, he did that. Was it Moses? I forget what it was. Elijah somewhere. He told him, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. So there's times when God is going to tell us that now is the time to do a certain thing. Now is the time to be a certain way. I said that we are I am people, but it's one moment in time. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 it says, now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. Wherever you are going along the timeline, there's something that will prompt you and say, now's the time for God, for me to, I am with God. Somewhere in the background, there will be something running in you that's keeping the link with God. But we have to pause every so often, actually establish that link from our point of view. God's never disconnected, but we disconnect because we've got loads of things that we have to do, that we have to put our mind to. But we need to keep establishing our link, our I am in with God. We've got to keep that going, whether it's the working day, whether it's out in play, or whether we're resting. One of the easy things about television is that we don't have to think. You sit in the front of the television, it's all on fire, and hours can go by in front of the television. But very little time do we actually spend just in the I am sense with God. And we all say we're busy people, but we have all got time where we can do that with God. Be it laid on our bed, sat in a chair, walking, working, playing, or whatever. And it's not coming to God with a laundry list. Yeah, God loves to hear our requests, but the prime thing has got to be to get into God's presence, because if we don't get into God's presence, our prayers can't be effective, because we're not aiming at the target. Like I don't know how much of the things that we sang this afternoon you recognise as talking direct to God, or whether you sung them because the hymns or choruses are on a sheet. We can, and it's easy for us to get locked into that. I remember it dawned on me when I was in the Methodist church, and we were a group of young people. It was a standard Methodist church with a balcony. We used to sit on the balcony and sing all these hymns, and you were thinking all sorts of things, because these hymns were in a book, and you knew them back to front anyway, because you'd sung them that many times. And it suddenly dawned on me that I don't know what that means. I was starting to consciously think, there's more in this than I'm, because I was just really brushing the service, going, in a sense, going through the formalities of it all, and missing out on the connection. And even around that time, I became a member of the Methodist Church, and I was given a Bible as a, you know, rather do with a Methodist official, and I think even then I wasn't really aware, that I was still brushing the surface on things. But God wants us within our working life, our walking life, our playing life, our relaxing life, to I am with him, because that is more important to God than anything else, because he wants us to go into his presence. He's got rid of the curtain on the into the Holy of Holies. We can actually approach right up to him, right to his heart, and we can talk to him, we can spend time with him. We can tell him our needs. Yeah, we can bring the needs of others to him. And the thing is, we can come right, because we've come into his presence in such a way that he'll say, oh, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. I want to give you everything that you're asking for. And he desires to bless us. I mean, one of the things like I read in Acts 3:19 was that we will get times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and it's a time of refreshing that we'll not get from any other source. And you can't explain that until you can get into his presence, until you can develop that of going into his presence. In Galatians 2 verse 20 it says, the life I now live in the flesh I live by faith. And this is another key to coming into the presence of God. We can't just come into the presence of God in our intellect. If it was intellect guided, the clever ones would be closer to God than the thickies. And it doesn't work like that. God doesn't account to us according to our natural abilities. If not, we'd all be out on the zero probably. But God wants us to respond in faith to him. That's how we're going to come, in faith, believing that he is, and he is able to I am with us. We know that we can I am with each other. We can do that with it. We can spend time with each other. We can, this is sometimes the case though. You get two people together, and you've probably done it yourself. One's telling you something, and suddenly something clicks as to what they said, and you're not listening to them after that because you're waiting to give your sixpenneth in them. You've stopped listening to them at that point when they've triggered something in your mind, and all you're doing is waiting until you can get a gap in to tell you to say your bit. But God wants us just to come into his presence and just to sink into his lap and spend that time there. I mean, today it's a not and bothered day today, and nobody wants to do anything. I mean, I look round and I feel the same as you do. I feel, whoa, it's that sort of weather, wet through and hot and sticky, and we're not going to prolong the meeting. But it's just the word that I wanted to do today, which was the finishing off to where I was going before Kim came, was the thing is, God's name is I Am, and what we've got to do is learn to I am with God. And if you don't take anything more in today than that, that's all you need to know. Because if you do it once, you can say at least once it says I am with God. That reads two ways, remember, I am with God. How many times do you in a day go and I am with God? We go everywhere, we go this, that and the other, go chasing around, and we miss out. And I do. I miss out. I can go out for a walk with the intention that I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to talk to God. And there's all through things going through my mind, and I come back and thought, well, I never did it. Because my mind's got wrapped up in all sorts of junk. But I can come back perhaps and it's jog my memory, and I've settled down and just say, alright, I'll just I am with you now. And God's not phased. God don't turn around and say, well, you didn't when you were out walking, so I'm not doing it now. No, no. God says, oh, come on, man. Come on, man, we'll do it now. And God's open for you and me. He did an open table for us. You know, he died and he rose again in victory, and the victory table is spread out for you and me, for us to come to him. Now, we can switch off when we come round. We've done it a lot of times. You know, we've taken the bread, we've drunk the wine, and never thought on about it. And we've missed the I am bit. We've missed that point where we actually touch God, and God touches us, and we link in such a way that everything else is secondary. Everything else has gone out of the window because we've just got that connection with God. You know, sometimes when we I am with God, sometimes it can take quite a while for us to come into the presence of God. That's not God's fault, that's ours, because sometimes we've just got to unclutter. We've just got to unclutter all the things that's surrounding us, all the pressures, all the turmoil that surrounds us. Sometimes we can be in all sorts of circumstances, nobody else knows, but God says, you can come into my presence. He says, you can come and spend time. He says, that's what I want you to do. You know, God wants me to do that. When you think, I mean, we watched a program last night, a film last night, when they went up into space. Did you see it? Clint Eastwood trying to sort out this satellite, and the short moon in the distance, you know, and you think, well, yeah, the Earth and the Moon are both dots, really. I mean, the scale of space, it's so massive. Yet God says, no matter where you go, you'll find me. He says, I am. No matter where you go. So we've got to come round the very real presence of God. Right? When he says, this is my body that I gave for you. This is my blood which I shed for you. He said, remember me. Now, remembering is a current thing. Come and remember me. Come into my presence now, he says, and receive from me the bread. Now, whoever brings it round, you're not receiving it from them. You're receiving it from him. You're receiving it from Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the only one that could do this. He says, I'm the one that's offering it to you now. Come and receive it. Come and receive from the presence of the Lord the bread and the wine. And come into the presence and get the times of refreshing. The times of your refreshing that you need for your circumstance will come from the presence of the Lord. It's not coming from you working it out on your own. Because you know, the longer you go, you find that the more difficult it is to work things out on your own. But God says, come to me, into my presence, and spend time around my table, and let's eat together. God says, let's eat together, and let's remember what I did, what Jesus did on Calvary, and what he's done is set you and me free in such a way that we are truly free. Alright, so we're going to come, we're going to hand out the bread. By all means, go and share it with us. But the key is, get the link in between you and Jesus. That's more important than anything. If you normally come and I mean, sometimes you're self-conscious or a bit embarrassed, and you just take it and eat it, and that's it. However you do it, don't forget to look into the face of Jesus. Look into the heart of Jesus as you do it. And you start to link into his presence. So we've got to share now. We've got to share the bread. We've got to share the body and blood of Jesus. And it looks like you need a big appetite today, because it was Aunt Louise got this yesterday, and she likes to pick a nice loaf of bread. But Jesus wants us to get into that presence, his presence. He's not done this to do it as a formality. If we do it as a formality, it's lost its power. The only time it has its power is when it becomes real to us and we begin to know who it is, who the body is, who the blood is, who the life is. Right, so we've got to share, we've got to rejoice, and we're going to be refreshed. You can have a drink of water this afternoon and it doesn't necessarily quench you first, because a bit later on you want it again. But Jesus has given us a refreshing that comes from his very heart, and it will refresh you to face the circumstance a bit longer. It will help you to look a little bit deeper to get the answers for situations. And God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through him. So we're going to celebrate.